You got your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter this morning. With the help of the Lord, I want to bring you a message that the Lord has given me. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. We've been studying the Word of God this week, and with all the things that's going on in our world, it seemed like the Lord kept pushing me this way, pushing me this way. And I know when He starts pushing, I need to start listening and following. And if we'll follow Him, we'll do what's right. Amen. If you find your place, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Second Peter chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance." And when I looked at that pure mind, I thought, well, that don't include none of us, because I don't know if I've ever met anybody of a pure mind. But I'm glad that lives within us. Christ, His Holy Spirit, is pure, amen. He can purify the mind. Can I get a witness this morning? So here Simon Peter's writing. He said, "I want to write to you and stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Look down at verse 8. He says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." I love verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning" what? "His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, boy, that three-letter word's got a lot in that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof and therein shall be burnt up." Verse 13, look at that one. "Nevertheless, according to His promises, looking for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness." Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we need fresh bread this morning, Lord. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for your word, Lord. Would you speak through these stammering lips? Hide your man behind the shadow of the cross and speak to your people today, Lord. Send the preacher, Lord. I can't preach, but God, you can do the preaching this morning. Should there be one here under the sound of our voice that's lost and undone, God, let it today be the day that they'll come to know you as their personal Savior before they leave this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Verse 11, the Bible says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Look at verse 16. "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." God wants you to know something this morning. You don't have to be unlearned. You don't have to be unsettled. You don't have to be confused. God can settle you if you'll listen what thus saith the Word of God. That's why God sends the man of God to preach to you the Word of God. It is our job to break this scripture down and try to help you understand what He wants you to know as the people of God. I don't care this morning whether you're saved or lost, We are all the people of God because he has created everyone in his image. Can I get a witness? But I'm going to tell you this morning, there are several of you here today that are not a child of God because you've never accepted that blessed sacrifice that was done on the cross of Calvary many, many years ago. But I got good news this morning. You don't have to leave the same person you came in this morning. There could be a change happening in your life today that will change your eternity forever, amen, if you'll trust this man that's called Jesus. I want to preach on a subject this morning. The King is coming, amen. He could be coming today. He's coming for the church that's ready. He's coming for the church that's prayed up. He's coming for a people that's looking for him, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you that are lost and undone without God, he's coming whether you're ready or not. He's coming, amen. Remember when we were children, we used to play that game, hide and seek. Ready or not, here I come. And everybody would go and hide now. I'm going to be the one. You go and hide and say, go hide. And everybody would run, you know. Worst thing we ever done was play hide and seek in the night, out in the yard. You know, mom and dad say, go out and play. We didn't care if it's night or not. We'd go out and play. We'd go out there in the yard and play, and I don't know about some of y'all's mamas, but I'm going to tell you about what my mom used to do. She used to dry the clothes on the clothesline out in the yard. She'd dry some things in the dryer, but a lot of things she'd dry on the clothesline. I know you young people ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. They put two poles up in the yard about 10 foot apart, and they'd stretch a plastic wire. It had a metal wire inside of it from one post to the other, three of them, and she would go out there and hang sheets over it and let the wind dry those sheets. Y'all remember that? I hated them dried that way. I was like trying to lay on soft cloth or whatever it was. It was real itchy. Anyhow, I hated it. And she'd dry them out that way. I said, dry them things in the dryer. I can't stand them that way. You know, but she liked to dry them that way. But we'd go out and play hide and go seek. We'd be like, okay, I never was the one got to count. I always had to go hide. So I'd take off running and hiding. We'd run and hide behind trees and this. Yeah, I forgot about the clothesline. And I'd run around the house, you know, wide open as fast as I could go. That clothesline catch me about right there. Turn me a backflip, you know. You only do that one time and you'll not forget where the clothesline's at, amen. That's just like the devil. When he trips you up one time, you need to remember the tricks of the devil and don't let him do that again to you. And I'm telling you this morning, he's tripping people up in this life. So number one, he's wanting to send out a warning to us. He's wanting to tell us. In verse 3, he tells us, knowing this first, that there shall be in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Scoffers. I want to break that down for you. They's not just talking about people out in the world, but scoffers are right in the church house. I'm talking about people supposed to be born again will come against you. Some of the worst persecution I've ever had in my life has come right out of a church house. If you ain't never had none, hang on, it's about to happen. You get those people that studies just enough that they'll turn their nose up in the air and look down across their nose at you. Know a few scriptures. I'll tell you what, I don't care if you can quote the Bible inside out. If you ain't got Jesus in your life, I don't want to hear a thing you got to say. Amen. We truly must be born again. We don't need to beat each other to death with the scriptures. We're to love one another and care for one another, encourage one another. When somebody stumbles and falls down, pick them up, amen. Don't stomp them down. We're the only religion that will kill their prey. The wounded, we're the only ones that'll kill the wounded in our pack. We'll kill other Christians. You let somebody fall down, we'll get on the phone. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what brother so-and-so done? I knew it. I knew he was no good. I just knew it. Bless his heart. They always follow up. Bless his heart. That makes it all right. Let me tell you this morning, it don't make it all right. If you're talking about your brother and sister, you're murdering them according to the Word of God. You become a scoffer that the Bible is talking about. You're becoming part of that here in the last days. Scoffers will rise up. Brothers and sisters will turn against each other. Mothers and fathers. And all this will happen in the last days. We're living in that time, church, where scoffers are rising. He sends a warning to us over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents. Oh my goodness, are we not seeing that? Unthankful, unholy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know what he said? Turn away from these people that are like that. Now, you want me to tell you something this morning? Just because we've got Baptists on the sign out there doesn't mean we're the only church going to heaven. There's good people in all denominations. Matter of fact, God never set up denomination. That's a man-made thing. That's what's caused the great separation in God's people, is that name out there on that sign. I'm glad to be a Baptist. I'm glad where I stand on my convictions, and I stand on them hard. But I got brothers and sisters all across this world. They may not agree with me in Scripture, and I might not agree with them. But if they believed in the virgin birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you're my brother and sister, amen. And I have to show them love. I can't help what they do. I'm not my brother's keeper, amen. I can't help what you, brother, do when you leave here. What you do is between you and God. But I've got to preach you the word and tell you the truth, and you've got to rightly divide it out. Each one of you all back there, you have to take the word and rightly divide it out. God is sending us a warning to study the Scriptures and know if the preacher's preaching you the truth. Know if somebody that's witnessing you is telling you the truth. You've got to find out for yourself, amen, what the Bible says. So in the last days, perilous times will come. He has sent us a warning. Not only has he sent us a warning, number two, he's given us time to get some things worked out. Think about how old you are physically. You've had all this time to get it worked out. Did you know when the Scripture was talking there, I believe it's verse 8, he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I'm fixing to answer that question for you. I'm telling you this morning, this Scripture is showing God's patience towards His coming. That's what this Scripture is about. Do you realize it's a figure of speech that Christ is talking about here? Because time has no hold on God. We try to, in our minds, rationalize time around God. And God's trying to tell me something through this Scripture, that one day is 1,000 years. So how long has time went on, and God's only been gone so many days. And you're trying to make something out of something that ain't there. Let me tell you this morning, time has no hold on God. He don't work on our clock, amen. He ain't watching the clock for 12 o'clock. You may be sitting here and thinking, man, I wish that preacher hurry up. Now I'm going to time him. If he ain't done 12 o'clock, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to tell you this morning, when the Holy Ghost shows up and preaches a man of God and begins to work in the house, if it's 12 o'clock and you're fed up, go on to the house, amen. We're going to stay here till God's done. We'll be here to one. If it was like when I was raised up, and you never did get out of church before 1 o'clock, they'd preach two or three preachers, amen? And you'd sit there till your seat was wore out. And you'd think, are they ever going to hush? But I'm going to tell you what, when the Holy Spirit shows up, I want to be right in the middle of it, amen? That's what I want. This ain't a 12 o'clock church. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not 12 o'clock. I may quit in the next 5 minutes. Or I might not quit in an hour. I don't know. I just want to keep you on the edge of your seat. You don't know yet what's about. I may come back right there with you and sit down and preach. If I catch you sleeping, I will be back there, I promise. I've been preaching before and looked back, and I've seen more dentures than the dentist has, amen? It happens like that sometimes. People do have sleeping acne and different problems and that thing, but I'm going to tell you what the devil will do. He will rock you to sleep if you'll let him. You may say to yourself, well, that message really ain't for me. And I'll tell you what, everything in this book is for me. It's all for me, amen. Verse 8, when he talked about those 1,000 years, he's given us a span of time to get things right. Church, he's giving you time to get things right. He's being patient unto you. You can look right on down there in the latter part of verse 9 where he says that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's talking about each and every one of us in this building. Whether you're living in sin or not living in sin, you know where you're at in God. You know if you're really truly living for God. You know if you're truly born again. Well, I don't know if I'm really saved. You talk about hearing from God. I don't hear from God. I really don't know. I'm struggling in my mind if I'm really born again. Let me tell you what, if you've been down to an old-fashioned altar and you bowed your knee before God from the conviction of the Holy Spirit that draws you to this altar and you said, yes, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and save me. I'm telling you this morning, you're born again by the Spirit of God. I don't care what devil in hell told you you wasn't. I'm going to tell you this morning, you're saved according to God's word. You're saved this morning. Amen. You're saved. But the devil will tell you you ain't. If he ain't ever told you you're not saved, he's told me that. And I'll get 10 years down the road and he'll tell me again I ain't saved. And then when I fail God and miserably and make a mistake, he'll say, look what kind of Christian you are. And then you start having problems. If God loved you so good, you wouldn't be in this mess. The devil is always on his job. How about you this morning? Are you on your job? He's give you time to get things right. It's a figure of speech when he talks about a day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Don't get hung up on this stuff, okay? I'm telling you this morning. John 7, verse 6, the Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always. I was talking to our sisters coming in this morning. They were talking about a lady in our church that's sick. She's 86 years old. And she's been a wonderful member of this church, been one of our cornerstones. And she's sick now, and we're praying for her. We want to be there for her. And, you know, a lot of times they, when you get of that age, they tell me that you're just thinking all the time, well, it could be any minute, any minute, any minute. But let me tell you what, we'll be here till God's done with us. You don't have to be 86 years old to die. You can be 13 years old and die. You can be 5 years old and die. You can be 20 years old and die. There's an appointed time that every one of us is leaving this life. Some live long, some live short. We go out to the graveyard, look at the graves of all sizes. They're this big to this big and right on and right on. God has no respecter of persons. See how blessed you are today? Death ain't in your home today, but it could be there tomorrow. Death didn't come to my house this week, but it could be there this upcoming week. But I know one thing, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he's given us time to trust him, live for him, and honor him. He's going to use that and help me with that. So when that time comes, we'll get right through it with him. So not only has he sent us a warning, he's given us time to make things right. Have you made things right this morning? Matthew 24:44, the Bible says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, so cometh the Son of Man. When you least expect it, the Lord is going to show up. His promises are true. He said he's coming. I promise you, church, he's coming this morning. You may have a lot of appointments coming up. You got a lot of stuff to do this upcoming week, but the Lord may show up in the morning. The Lord may show up before 12 o'clock. You say, well, we're in church. You're trying to scare us. I'm trying to give you a reality check this morning. They have all these reality shows on TV that everybody likes to watch. I'm giving you a reality this morning. It could happen in a few moments. We could be out of here, amen. I wonder how full this church would be if the Lord came in the next 30 seconds. I wonder if we'd all go, or would half of us still be here when the Lord comes. Think about that. Think about that. What if the Lord was going to come in the next minute? This side right here, I want you to think, if the Lord was coming in the next minute, and we know it for sure, have you done everything you needed to do to make sure you're ready for heaven? They're happy that I'm not talking to them right now because I'm talking to you. I'm just talking to this side right here. If this side right here in the next minute was going to stand before God, have you done everything that you could stand before God and say, "Yes, Lord, I've done everything you've asked me to do"? Or would you have to be what the Scripture says where they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the one that sits on the throne? Would that happen over here? I wonder. Here's the good thing. The Holy Spirit knows. God knows what's going on in every heart and every mind on the right side of this church. But you know what? He didn't leave that bunch out neither. He knows what's going on over here too. He knows every thought that's going on while I was talking to you all, because they're fixing to face the same thing. Someday we're going to stand before a holy God. You think about all everybody that's here this morning. There's going to be a moment of time when we're going to stand in judgment. And Brother Aaron, it's not going to matter all of what you did here at Vickers. God's not going to say, "Now, Brother Aaron's been the choir leader and he's a deacon and he's helped, you know, take care of the church. Brother Aaron, come on up. Everybody step back. Brother Aaron, come on up." That's not the way it's going to be. Just because Donald Trump's our president, and when the judgment comes, he's not going to say, "Everybody step back, security team come in and bring the president to me." He's going to stand there just like I am. He'll say, "Donald Trump, come forth." Just like he'll say, "Gary Atkins, come forth." We'll stand there for ourselves and not another. He's give us time, church. There's still time right now. God is looking through hearts right now, because there's time, and it's not done yet. Maybe the next 2 minutes, the king could be coming. The king, it's quiet right now, but the king could be coming. Oh my goodness. The king could be coming. So not only does he give us a warning and he gives us time, he gives a final notice. A final notice. You ever notice when you pay your light bill, you pay it on time every month, and somehow you miss a month, you forget not pay your light bill, and you're working yourself to death, and you ain't got time to run the post office, you got the, and all of a sudden you get a letter in the mail, and it says final notice. What they're saying, if you don't pay this on this date, we're going to cut your power off. It don't matter if it's 10 degrees outside, we're going to cut your power off if you don't pay this bill. Y'all look at me like you never got nothing like that. I hate it when they show up and it says final notice. Because something's about to happen that you can't do nothing about because you've let things go. I'm telling you this morning, sinner friend, you've let things go so long that God is giving you a final notice this morning. If you don't get things right, you're going to come up wanting. You're going to come up to the end of this thing and wish you had done something that you haven't already done. He said in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, and they in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works thereof shall be burnt up." I'm glad he said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. This time is coming of judgment. This time is coming when you're going to stand before God. It won't matter about your career. It won't matter about your anticipations of things you want to do. There's going to come a time when judgment's going to come. Death's going to come. Everything's going to come. The final notice has come. It's over with. It's time to stand before God. What if that was today? What if that's today? What if you're receiving the last sermon, the last message, the last word that you'll ever hear in your life right now? They could already have your casket at the funeral home right now that you'll lay in this week. The embalming fluid could already be on the shelf that they're going to pump through your veins to embalm you that's already there right now. What if that was this week? You see, now, Brother Gary, you're going into something that's bothering me. I don't want to hear that. That's the truth. Maybe you've tied your shoes for the last time this morning. You slipped your shoes on your feet for the last time today. You put on the last set of clothes you'll ever put on today. Imagine if that was today. Here's the final notice, church. It could be today. You could have picked your clothes out for the last time today. There's people that's done that today. There were people that did that this morning that are already in eternity right now. It's almost 12 o'clock, and they got up this morning with anticipations of doing things and going places, and death come by and snatched them away because the appointment came to their house already. What if it was right now for you? As people died sitting in the pew in the church house, you better believe it. I've seen preachers die right in the pulpit preaching. You could die right where you're sitting. You're trying to scare me. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to let you know there's a final notice going out. I want you to know there's a real heaven where real people are going. There's a real hell where people are going. If heaven's not real, hell's not real. If hell's not real, heaven's not real. They're both real places where real people are going that's in this room right here. We've preached revivals and couldn't even get through a revival for people dying and slipping into eternity. I've seen people in revivals preach services and watch them hold to the pews and shake all over and cry and weep. And we beg them to come to the Lord before it's too late. And they'd walk right out the door and death would find them. Then the family would come and say, Brother Gary, could you preach over my brother, preach over my mother, my sister, my daddy? Say something nice. What do you want me to say? They trotted on the mercies of God. They wouldn't accept the Lord, but you want me to say something nice. I'm telling you this morning, you're preaching your own funeral right now. There's nothing a preacher can say over you that you ain't already said. Amen? You're saying it this morning. I don't want you, when my time comes and they rolled my cold corpse out, I don't want a good feel-good message. I done told the brother that's going to preach on me. I said, you preach to him. Preach them salvation. Don't preach about me. Preach about him. And warn them that this time's a coming. There's going to come a day that if the Lord tarries his coming, I'm going to go by the way of the grave. But let me give you news this morning. So are you. It's the once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. If I was to look over you this morning, I'd say everybody in here is saved. You got your nice Sunday clothes on, and you fixed your hair, and thank the Lord you brushed your teeth. And everybody looks good. You look like you're ready. But I just wonder, how many is ready this morning? Are you ready? You're getting the final notice this morning. Let me read you this last scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord. For the Lord himself. He ain't sending nobody else. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a whisper. He ain't going to whisper his way in. Hey, I'm coming. Here I come. The Bible says he's going to shout with a voice of triumph. Amen. There's going to be a trumpet one day. It's going to sound. What if that had been it? What if that had been it this morning? The trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we, which are alive and remained, are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you that are lost are going to be left behind. You're going to go through that 7-year tribulation period. They're going to be 3.5 years of peace. And they're going to be 3.5 years of hell on earth. And it's going to be awful for those that's left behind. You're going to have to suffer every bit of it. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you better be right with God, or you're going to be lost and doomed for a devil's hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the fire's never quenched. I'm going to tell you this morning, you may think what you're doing is fun and you're young and I've got plenty of time, but I don't want to be preaching your funeral next week and trying to tell people that you came to church one time. I don't know whether or not if he's saved or not, but I would like to stand before this congregation and before your family and say, I'm glad that this person right here knew God and trusted God. We know that he's with the Lord because of his testimony. I don't want to see your family come in weeping and crying because they know that you're on a devil's hell. Well, we don't know what went on right at the last moment of death. If you're cursing God all the way out to the breath leaves your body, there's no doubt where you're at. And your destiny is sealed for all eternity. You're not going to burn just for a little while and then God look at you and go, okay, you've had enough. Come on out. I'm going to bring you on to heaven. I'm telling you, it's never going to end. Never, 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 ever, ever end. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of your teeth. Where the fire is, have you ever seen a fire so hot that it's transparent, that you can see through it? If you'll notice a flame, it's orange around the outside of it, right in the center of it. It's the hottest part. It's crystal clear through the center of it. The Bible talks about hell being a bottomless pit where we'll fall and fall and fall. Where are you going to be at? In the hottest part of that flame. It's going to be terrible. I'm telling you, it's going to be terrible. Is it really going to be that bad? I saw a sign this week that people were protesting, holding up signs, going to hell and proud of it. I thought, Lord help them. They have no idea what they're protesting. They don't know how bad this is going to be. If we could open up the pits of hell and let them talk out of there, they'd scream and say, get right. It's bad. It's the worst that you can imagine. Don't come to this awful place. God is giving a final notice to you today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, that all of us that would believe on him would have a way to him, a way to heaven. We wouldn't have to perish. God did that for you and I this morning, and he loves you today. He said to tell you the king is coming. The king is coming. Church over here, the king is coming. You need to get excited. The king is coming. He's coming for all of us. He's coming for that church that's ready to meet him. We're going to stand before him one day. And all those that has went on with the Lord, one day after a while, they're going to be a great reunion. Mommy and daddies and brothers and sisters and children, we're all going to get to see one another. And what a day that'll be when we get to heaven's shore and we can see them all again. I can just see my daddy say, come on, son, let me show you what God's prepared for me and you. Let me show you the river of life. We're going to have a wonderful time. I've been having a time for 25 years. I've been waiting for you, son. Come, let me show you what it's all about. But there'll be none meeting us at the gate of hell, because they're in their own torment. They won't even realize you've even got there, because they're in so much pain themselves. It'll be a place of separation from anything and everything you'll ever know and love. But the worst part, you'll be separated from a holy God that could ever give you an opportunity to be saved. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.